This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Now, the Malaysian insurance industry has seen tremendous growth in the last decade, but with that, a tight fight for market share among the top five players while the industry undergoes liberalisation. So today, we're going to find out how this German insurance powerhouse, Allianz, is doing in this country by speaking to their local CEO, Zachary Kehr. Welcome back to the show, because you were here last in 2017. Yeah. Now, just to recap for our listeners, Allianz Malaysia is listed on Bursa Malaysia, provides both life and general insurance services. But let's start with general insurance, because if I look at the third quarter results, net earned premiums dipped 2.9%, which is another fancy way of saying that sales are down. And I think this is due to stiff competition and also the recent liberalisation by Bank Negara to allow for price competition. So it's been good for the consumer, but less so for you. Is that the case?
First of all, good morning. it's good to be back. The landscape of the general insurance is somewhat tied to the economy because it's a consumption business. So when people buy cars and they buy houses and they gather assets, you will see a correlation with general insurance growth. Now, in this particular time, in this particular moment, in 2019, one, the economy wasn't that great. And we're going through this process of the phase liberalization, which means...
competitive pricing, isn't it,
in a way? Well, competitive pricing is in a way, but it's just... Okay, put it this way. Motor insurance in this country is just too cheap. Fire insurance is just too expensive under tariff. So motor insurance should go up.
But it hasn't.
It can't because of the regulation.
Okay.
It doesn't go up so much anymore. But fire insurance is basically a free fall. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, has this been a function of the fact that you, as an insurance company, you just don't want to compete on pricing or won't?
Okay.
Or is this a fight for market share because your two closest rivals
so what we've
are
done,
nearby?
This is specifically a question to Allianz. So what we did is, first of all, that's true. We basically said to ourselves, why do we need to fight on pricing? We need to be competitive, but we don't actually have to be basically, dog eat dog. Or we don't have to really cut prices to a point where... And we also have a sense that if we do that, then there will be a price war because we are the largest general insurance company in this country. So what we've done is we focus a lot on operational delivery. Yeah? So to create a distinction between the rest as to, oh, if you see Allianz, then this is a brand that I can trust. I'm not saying the other brands are no good, but basically that. Now, the question you asked, there was a particular comment that you made about net earned premium. Mm. The reason why our net earned premium dipped was because in 2019, we took steps to actually cull some very bad business.
Okay, so you refocused kind of do the very profitable segments.
Yeah. So, net earned gross was a bit slower than gross. Gross as at September of three quarter was not bad. We actually grew slightly above last year, which was quite commendable considering the fact that we actually rejigging the book.
But do you think it is also a function of the challenge for you, and not only you, but all the general life insurance companies, to kind of find out a way to price competitively based on risk because of this tariff liberalisation?
Yes. So at this present moment, we are not able to do that completely. There are limitations as far as motor is concerned. In terms of fire, basically, it's a free fall. You can go down 30% and everybody's gone down to the floor, basically.
Because it used to be the highest margin business, right?
Fire. Yeah, it's just unrealistic. The whole tariff is fire is completely unrealistic. But basically, the general insurance market has been surviving on fire business and been losing money on motor. So now that we're liberalizing, it's creating an imbalance in the... I foresee this year the industry's underwriting profit will be very poor, actually.
Okay, which then leads me to my next question. So you said underwriting profit will be poor for 2020. So this is not going to be a good year for the Allianz General Insurance segment then?
No, 2019, I would say was a defining year actually. We did very well. Numbers are not out yet, but in the fourth quarter, we both life and non-life actually grew very strongly.
What about for 2020, for general insurance? How do you think things will pan out?
Well, it really depends on one is consumption, whether there's consumption comes back, which means ties back to the economy.
Yeah, but the headline GDP numbers have always been very good. Is that not an indicator of how things will be? Because I think the consensus is expecting 4.5% for 2020.
Yeah. Right? Up until 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, the insurance industry was always double GDP. So
yes.
GDP is 5, insurance is 10.
Yeah, it was like a ratio, right, times 2.
But
and that ratio doesn't work anymore.
No, basically this year, I think 2019, general insurance industry will be at best flat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not helped by the fact that the property market is in the doldrums, right? For some of your...
Yeah, basically, like I said, it's all
everything.
About... Everything. Yes, it's all tied back to whether if you have a lot of activities pertaining to asset gathering, then yes, general insurance business will grow. But if the whole consumption is subdued, so will general insurance. And then, because of competition, price will come down. So this is... And which will mean that the whole market actually will... basically be will basically reduce in terms of premiums.
This is also not going to be helped by the fact that that we expect tariff liberalization, right, to happen, the second phase to happen. Some analysts expect in the middle of this year. So how is that going to impact your numbers, actually? Because you seem to have a lot of headwinds. Consumption is slowing, GDP growth might not be there, and then we have tariff liberalization.
Yes, of course, we'll all be affected. But the question is, it's a new normal. So in the old days, you used to basically rely on huge margins on fire. And you try not to lose as much money in motor as well. So today is different. So today, the strategy is you try to make money in motor because you have to. You know, otherwise, it's done. And in terms of fire, you basically try to preserve the margins that you have. So... it requires a resetting of your strategies. It requires, like in our case, where are we going to get profits?
But does this mean you're still going to maintain your position as the number one player for general insurance, or you rather maintain profits and lose market share? Which is the game plan for you?
Yeah, my instructions to my shareholders is very simple. Both.
Both. But is that a realistic target? Because, you know, you can't always win. I mean, you might have some of your other players, let's say like MSIG or M General, more interested in market share and willing to cede some pricing in the game.
Yeah, but, you know, I have not really thought about that. Basically, we want to be number one and we want to be profitable. The question is
how... So your eye is always on the combined ratio.
Yeah. The question is how profitable can one be? Given the current situation, it is challenging. Well, but to achieve, for example, what we used to be able to do in the old days, sub 90% combined ratio. Today, we're doing like 91, 92. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for third quarter, you're looking at, 36.4? So it's kind of inched up, which is actually kind of funny. The higher the number, the worse off for you, right?
Yeah. But so basically, that's the kind of environment that we're looking at. So the market will not go back to these days of 87% combined ratio for the whole industry whatsoever. It will start to inch up to maybe 92, 93, 94. So if we can be slightly lower than the market, I think we'll be all right. Because you're just as good as the market, right?
And let's look at the bigger picture. Because if we rewind to 2010, right, general insurance used to be the bigger contributor to earnings for Allianz Malaysia. But the tables are turned. So now life insurance contributes about 53% of profit before tax for the third quarter. So is this the new Allianz going forward? I mean, are you going to be a company that tilts more towards life? Is that a deliberate strategy then?
No, actually, the life company is much younger company than the general insurance company in terms of maturity. So as you know, life business is, takes a bit of time for you to actually generate the kind of volume and business and margins that you'll be looking at. I'm very happy to say that the life company is now coming of age. We're seeing surplus over, let me see, a lot more margins coming out. Going forward, I think the contributions will be around 50-50 in terms of, life will be bigger in terms of sales. For example, premium size, they will definitely, because it's just the nature of the beast. And the fact that there is a bit of a lack of consumption on the general insurance side. So our growth will be okay, but I don't think it'll be as good as our sister company, which is the life company, right?
But the life, of course, you are the fifth largest player in Malaysia, right? I think with an estimate of 11 to 12% market share. But this growth has really been driven by product mix skewed more towards investment-linked products. Am I correct? So it shows, I mean, if I just look at your data, so it's 78% of all agency new business is from investment link. Is this driven by the fact that MD investment link products are just far more profitable? There's no capital requirement. You earn a nice management fee. And it's all just down to scale, right?
Okay. This is a question. So what do we sell actually in a life company?
Yeah, is it protection or investment? Which is the main thing for Allianz?
We should sell protection, and that's what we do as far as Allianz is concerned. But nobody will buy protection purely on its own. So your money needs to work, and therefore we need to make it interesting. So hence what we call these investment-linked policies in respect to giving you a little bit more money than, you know, with the money that you give to us. Yeah? But essentially, our investment-linked products are still pure. It's basically very much a protection-based product. You see? It's called investment-linked. I wish we could call it another, but basically that's how it's classified. But when you actually go through the structure of the policy, you'll find that it's actually basically a policy of protection with a little bit of investments, you know.
Okay, we'll come back to this discussion. I've been speaking to Zakir Kher, CEO of Allianz Malaysia. Up next, exactly that, investment-linked products. We're going to discuss that and ask whether they're actually a good product for policyholders. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. I'm speaking to Zakir Kher, CEO of Allianz Malaysia. Now, just a moment ago, we were talking about the challenging general insurance market. And are things going to get even tougher when phase two of liberalisation happens, which probably is the case. But let's go back to investment-linked products. Because, you know, some financial advisors would say that as an investment product, it's flawed. Okay, some say never mix insurance with investments, because if you wanted protection, just buy a simple whole life plan, which is stable and guaranteed. And then if you want an investment product, just buy that. Do you think that's the case?
Yes, this is a million-dollar question. I've been asked this so many times, and this is what basically I've been very consistent. At the end of the day, would you buy a policy purely for protection? Some would, but at the same time, some consumers are looking for a little bit more of how does money work for them, and this is where we insurance companies designed this particular investment link. Of course, it's historical because, you know, there was a time where market was great and there was so much money, and we insurance companies thought that we could compete with banks, for example,
or asset management companies.
Yeah, which was a big mistake. Actually, we shouldn't have done that. But nevertheless, I think the idea of giving back something to a customer in terms of a particular investment gain is there. So hence the investment-linked policy.
But some would say that the whole way the product is designed, right, is part of the issue, because a lot of the fees actually go to the agent who sells the product, right? And then there is the risk if the fund doesn't do well, you actually end up being underinsured because the units are actually what's paying for the insurance policy, right? Yeah. I think. So I find it hard to justify a reason to buy these investment-linked products then.
Yes. The first question, why through agents? Because life insurance is a push product. Nobody will wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to feel very excited to buy a life insurance. So it has to be pushed. Sad, but insurance is a logical purchase by a not-so-logical consumer. It's sold through an agent, and we have to. Okay, one can question whether or not there's over gratification or whatsoever. But if you in a free market where you want to push sales, basically that's what happens. But there are limitations. I think in Malaysia the regulation is very tight in respect to that. And the other question was,
what happens if the fund doesn't do well?
Yes,
because then you end up with being underinsured because the units from the fund are used to pay for that.
Two things. One, I think we, as from the insurance side, we need to make it a lot more clear, and perhaps even in our simulation.
Yeah, and because this is driven
because
by
you only simulate the good part, you never simulate the bad part. So I suppose that's one particular thing that we should be doing, basically, is to simulate what happens if something goes wrong. You know, this is the problem with life contracts, investment in products. We don't simulate, and the consumer needs to know. Now, on the other hand, the consumer, after all these years, just for some reason, remains ignorant about the life policy. Whereas the same consumer is very knowledgeable about banks and interest rates and other investments. But when it comes to
insurance products,
there's always this claim of, oh, you know, I don't know, I'm innocent. which could be true, but at the same time, you need to take the trouble to learn. And this is, I think, I must say, this criticism over the buying public insurance is you must actually take the trouble to learn what you're buying.
But isn't part of that the agent's job, actually, to educate the consumer about the inherent risk of any product that he buys?
And there are many agents who are like that. The only thing in insurance is, you know, like in the Malaysian, setitik nila merosakkan perut belanga. So basically, you have a few who may not necessarily be as transparent as the rest. And that is the one that's constantly highlighted. But I think generally insurance agents do tell, and now there's a lot of regulatory push in respect to, and I must commend Bank Negara in respect to this.
Yeah, because I understand there are new guidelines, right, on investment-linked products effective this month, which changed the way examples and illustrations are used. So now you have to be far more conservative in terms of your projections of investment returns. I think in the past, it was very common to see 8-10% every year per annum, and now that's kind of shifted lower,
right? Yeah, in the past, it's always you simulate the best. You never simulate whatever, if something...
So is that something Allianz is going to do? Are you going to be more realistic with your illustrations for 2020?
Yes, for sure. We definitely, but it will be something. The truth is a bitter pill to swallow, perhaps. So consumers will start to realize that actually you can also lose money as far as because your money is at risk. We're basically managing your money. So this is something that they have to understand. However, I think what we are telling them is that your protection is always there. Yeah? The question is, how much are you willing to pay for that? Okay. Especially in the health business, because health factor aspects of it, in the health elements of the investment is because you don't need your health, probably do not need your health insurance now, but you need your health insurance later.
But there's always the risk that the customer has to top up, right, if the fund performance has been poor.
Yes, and that's something, that's a reality.
But it's often not told to the consumers.
Yes, so hence, I think with the new regulation, we have no choice but to actually now be very transparent in respect to that, which is good. Which
yes.
Is,
but do you think then they'll be bad for your sales? Because, you know, for the last 5 years, I would say for Allianz Malaysia, a lot of your sales in the life insurance has been driven by investment link. So now with clarity in terms of all, you know, more conservative assumptions, do you think that will impact growth for this segment?
There are two schools of thought in Allianz. One is, yes, probably our sales will be subdued. I, on the other hand, have a different view, personally. I think consumers will adjust. At the end of the day, they will realize that this is a risk that they have to take and they will still continue to buy. There will be a initial knee-jerk reaction. Oh, you know, what is this? You know, this.
I didn't know it. The risk existed.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, when you, as I said, when you sit down and you think logically, this is the only instrument that you have.
Okay, let's spend some time talking about investment returns. Now, this year has been really good for you all. I mean, the Malaysian 10-year government bond yield compressed about 70 basis points. So really boosting your bottom line with good fair value gains. But do you expect a similar trend in 2020? Because we are talking about this era of ultra-low rates, right? With central banks in easing mode. So how are you going to achieve these returns that customers have gotten used to?
Yeah, this is going to be tough. I mean, this is a new normal. Like I said, our shareholders basically want to see growth, want to see growth in profits. And it's going to be very, very difficult in this very low interest rate environment.
In Malaysia, we seem to have a shortage also of bonds to buy. There's a big fight among all the insurance companies with EPF. And
there's basically nothing out there.
So how are you going to achieve the kind of returns that customers have grown used to expecting?
Yeah, so you got to work harder. And alternative investments, we're looking at a few things and we'll see. But generally, I think you just have to adjust.
So is this part of also informing the customer? You know, because sometimes there's a mismatch of their expectations once again,
Of course.
So the agents, are they kind of...
Then I'm very comforted because as far as Allianz is concerned, we've never given... and you can take five other insurance companies and you take the investment returns of Allianz, we'll probably be the lowest because we're conservative, which is good, which I think is a very good thing. I mean, agents do complain, say, oh, your projections are too conservative, but that's how it should be, yeah?
So you haven't had to cut bonuses for your life power policies then? You've been more realistic than the rest?
That was done in the old days when we had a bit of a power book. Now our power book is very small. And we did. Everybody went through that particular process, but that's all water under the bridge. But for now, We think we have a good book. Investment returns will be a challenge. The fair value gain, hopefully, is a one-off thing. Unless there's another rate cut this year, then it will happen again. Because it only happens because there's a rate cut. And there's nothing else.
And let's, you were here, like I said, last on The Breakfast Grill in 2017, and you spent a bit of time talking about digitalization, right? So I'm particularly interested in the sales aspect of that. Because I see agencies still the main sales channel at 73% for life and 60% for general. Do you think you're still too dependent on this very expensive distribution channel?
Yeah. Dependent on whether we're dependent or not is dictated by the consumer. And basically, if the consumer so wishes to buy through an agent, we will sell through an agent. Now, let me put it this way. There's a lot of talk about disruption as far as digital is concerned. But I think we need to classify or segregate what is digital. You're talking about online direct versus digital. Digital is a lot more wider into the scope. So we're very much into that particular area. We have 40 digital partners basically transacting for us out there. It's been fantastic. In terms of premium, we roughly have about 10 million premiums coming from our digital partners, which is not bad. We're talking about very small ticket size items.
Yeah, from some, no base or so.
Some even a couple of cents, because you buy on a daily basis. Now, will this pose a threat to the agents?
Yeah, is it at odds with the agency force? I mean, digitalization
and Asian tech? There's a perceived conflict of interest.
Because then do you run the risk of antagonizing what is clearly your still most important sales channel?
Yeah, we get a lot of flack from our agents in respect to, oh, why are you working with this? But then we explain to them that this is the new normal. The world will evolve and they have to evolve as well. There's a place for them, but they have to get better. They have to get a little more sophisticated. Giving advice, good advice to consumers is very important, and that no robot or artificial intelligence will be able to tell you to do that. You know, so and the human touch. So these are things. So we've managed to exist very well in this particular space. We're actually, in terms of generations, we're the largest in terms of the digital amongst the digital players. But at the same time, we have a very huge agency force. We've managed to coexist because there are rules in place. And rules that everybody has to respect. First of all, don't sell stuff that will compete with one another. You know, why would you do that, right? And in digital space, people don't necessarily buy stuff that the agents sell.
Okay, let's talk about the recent Bank Negara imposing the rule of at least 30% local in ownership for insurance companies. I know you're not affected because you're listed. But if you ask me, this might accelerate mergers and acquisitions in this sector. So is this something you are considering? I'm sure your KPI from Germany is to grow. And one of the fastest way is through inorganic growth. So is there anyone on your radar that you perhaps would like to acquire? Be it live or general?
Yeah, I'll say this loud and clear. No, there's nobody on our radar.
No one. Yeah. And would a Takaful in license then help to complete the jigsaw? Is that something you're also looking to acquire?
Yes. Takaful specifically in the life sector is something very interesting for us. We've tried in the past. We've been pretty successful. But that will not deter us. The question is pricing. There are no new licenses. So it's a question of buying something that's available out there. And so far, I think the asking price has been the ceiling and the offer price for us has been the floor. So,
okay, and I'd like to end this by asking about the share price of Allianz. Now, it's up 27% on a one-year basis. Stellar performance from RM13 to RM16.90. Now, I look at Bloomberg. Three analysts that cover it all have a buy, but their target price is RM17. So there doesn't look like there's much upside. So tell me what to do if I'm an Allianz shareholder.
Hold.
Why?
I mean, we've just announced a very good dividend. Yeah? So payout ratio of more than 50%. It's a good stock. It's a dividend stock. Just hold. Yeah?
On that note, thank you for your time today, Zakri, for that in-depth discussion on Allianz Malaysia and its future plans. I'm Wong Shao Ning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.